Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro call. Today is July 1st, if you can believe it. Wow, this year. And I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by going to motorvitality.com, where you can listen to all the past archives, or by subscribing to whatever podcast application you happen to enjoy. So I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have?
Kelly, I want to, if nobody else is, of course I have something.
Go ahead, Jen.
So for less than 4 weeks from today is WQA convention. And we can never stress enough that this is just an amazing place to go, be around people who are in the same mindset, learn from others. However, if you cannot make it, in person, because, you know, it is hard to leave the office sometimes, or people are still concerned about travel restrictions, things like that. They are doing a virtual. So if you go onto the WQA website, go into the event, there is going to be a virtual. And it's not only going to be the virtual classes, even though there are quite a few of the virtual classes that Corey, Kelly, and myself will each be doing some classes. Kelly, I think you and I have a couple of live classes, but they're still going to do a virtual for the exhibition floor. They're going to do virtual for pretty much everything. So there is a virtual option. I highly recommend that you sign up for that, and it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they go. If there's been one thing that the zombie apocalypse did for us with this whole pandemic thing, I always say zombie apocalypse because it basically started exactly the way I assume a zombie apocalypse will. I think that's going to be the second wave for those of you. And mostly because I've been in New York and I'm expecting them to blow up the bridges and trap me on Long Island one of the days at any moment. So, but, you know, we'll continue on in case I'm wrong on that.
Cutting your TV time.
If there's one thing that this has done for us, is it has allowed us to kind of put your foot in the pool and test out the water for the WQA events, you know, and the virtual is an excellent opportunity to do that, because with as busy as everybody seems to be right now, you know, the time to pick up and take a week and travel is challenging. Plus you might, you know, still be a little concerned with doing that, but this is an excellent opportunity to kind of get a glimpse of what it's like, and hopefully it will whet your appetite enough to make you want to attend some of the events, which are just spectacular. I myself am so looking forward to going and actually seeing people in person that I haven't seen in years. It's going to be pretty awesome. But anyway, yeah, Jen, thank you very much for that. You know, and on that same thing, Chris, if I'm going to go on and answer a question partially that you asked offline, in relation to the WQA again, which is just a reminder that, you know, the certification program, this is the time of year when convention comes up that a lot of people start thinking, oh, man, I should get certified, or maybe they got their certification around this time of year, and originally, and it's starting to run out, you're starting to get notices from WQA that you got to get points. So going on the virtual events is a great way to earn some of the continued education points that you would that you need in order to maintain your certification. But also, if you're interested in getting your certification, then you know, certainly we can help with that. Reach out to Motor Vitality, and we would be able to help with that. It's not as quick and it's not as straightforward of a process as it used to be. It used to be you read the books and took the test. Now there is an online component that you have to, you know, practical component as well. You have to have a mentor program. It's a little more in depth, takes a little bit more time, and certainly I think adds some credibility to the program, which I have to say because I am chair of the Professional Certification Committee for WQA. So, but I also believe that to be true. So definitely it's the time to kind of think about that as well. But anybody else have anything else to discuss before we jump into our topic today? Well, I just want to talk about the weather a little bit, if it's okay. So I don't know about you guys, but it's been hot. Anybody else? What's your record temperature? Who's got the highest temperature this last week? Who's had it?
I had 103 the other day.
103. That was, and you're in Pennsylvania, Jersey. Pennsylvania, right. What else? Who else has had it? Stacey, what did it get to in Indy?
Oh, we're only, I think we got up to 91 as our highest.
Oh,
we've
really?
Been kind of cold. Yeah.
Everybody moved to Indianapolis. It's like cold there.
Michigan's only been 80.
It's not bad. And I think we're supposed to be.
Wow.
It would be really nice for like 4th of July and stuff.
Yeah. In central Indiana, really nice. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe in the weather.
So mid-80s
yeah.
were like the 4th of July and stuff.
Yeah. So what else? So 103 sounds like the record on the call right now. I know we've got clients out in Oregon that hit 113. In Eugene, and I mean they're it's been pretty hot and heavy. It's been tough. So what I wanted to discuss today for our topic was, and not just when there's a major heat wave, but I wanted to talk about a couple things that in just that summer has an impact on in terms of the way we do business, and some of the things I wanted to talk about is we have longer days, which means that you have more opportunity to be out there. I remember when I was in sales and you know, certainly when I've been training and canvassing, I mean, it gets dark much later, you know, 9, 10 o'clock. So, you know, you can be out there. In the wintertime, when it's dark at 5:30, 6 o'clock, you're driving around, you know, canvassing or you know, trying to, people are inside, they're not outside working in their yards. You know, it gets a little more awkward. You pull up in somebody's driveway, even for a regular sales appointment at 6 o'clock. And if they forgot you were coming, you know, they're looking out, who's here? It's so late. You pull up in somebody's driveway now in the summertime at 6 o'clock and still got 4 or 5 hours worth of daylight. You know, people are curious, they're looking, but it doesn't put their defense mechanism up as quite as high. So I wanted to talk about that. Just to start off, you know, appointment times. Do you find in the summertime that you're running appointments later or at different times or more on more or less on weekends? You know, I wonder about that. Are more people doing things out and about? Are they out on their boats or outside working in the yard on the weekends? How has it impacted the times that you run your appointments? Has anybody seen an impact on that?
Kelly, I know for me, when I would go out and canvas, it was nice to, like you said, go out in the evenings for canvassing. Appointments, I think in the winter, you're going same time regardless, it's when they're home, but canvassing, people are more apt to be outside at 6, 7 o'clock at night, checking on their new construction or even just outside period. Working on the yard And so that definitely there were times that in the morning I might go volunteer at the kids' school, but I knew in the evening I was going to be out canvassing.
Anybody else have an impact on them? So when
we're in our Pocono location, there's a lot more kind of transient New York type people come more in the summer, so we pick up more at that time. But overall, appointment times and scheduling has never really changed for us. Whether it's winter, summer, it's always been consistently the same.
Yeah. So, you know, so Jen, you mentioned something, people being in their yards. This is something that I loved about going out. So you and I did this when you first came in the industry. I don't know if you remember, because I got to tell you, let's be real, you guys. Some days when it gets hot and you get out there, you just walk out and it's just sweltering. And the idea of, I don't know, it makes it hard to work sometimes, or to want to work, or to get the energy. I don't know if that is common with everybody else, but... And that's the way I am sometimes, is that it just drains you immediately. You walk out into the sauna. So I remember you and I, Jen, when there were days that we, you know, you almost have to force yourself to do sales type stuff. You and I would get a big cooler full of bottled water and put ice on it and drive around looking for those people, especially in the evenings. Working in their yards, watering their grass, not even necessarily the new construction homes. That was something you could do during the day when people were out working, you'd take and give water. Now, we were fortunate enough to have the private labeled sport bottles of water. So they had the name brand of our, of the company on, you know, the product that we carried on the water. So we would take that out and give it to the construction workers, but also in the evenings when people were out watering their lawns or out doing stuff in their yard, we would take those ice cold bottles of water and not make it salesy, right? You get out and you just drive around. Hey, this is, we're with ABC Water. Just, you look like you could use this, and you get out and you hand it to them. And people know what you do. You've got the, if you're fortunate enough to have a logo vehicle, you have that, but you have your shirt, identifying who you are, but they're in the middle of yard work. They don't want to stop and talk about, they don't want to be sold anything at that point. But you walk up to them when they're hot and thirsty and you give them an ice cold bottle of RO water, they remember it. It's just one of those subtle ways that you can show that it's there. It will stand out in their mind. And you know, one of the things that we've always talked about is activity creates productivity. And so if you're doing something, what you will have, and Jen, you and I experienced this a couple times when we were doing this way back when. I remember it's always a little bit of a surprise when it happens, but it does happen more frequently than you would anticipate, that you hand somebody an ice cold bottle of water and they say, oh man, it's so strange that you came and did this. We were just talking about needing a system. We just saw something on the news. And it, maybe they use it as an excuse to stop and talk, and you can schedule a time where you can go in more depth. I know you're busy right now, and I don't have as much time right now, but maybe we can schedule a time, you know, in the next day or two where I can come back and test your water and do a plumbing assessment, and if nothing else, give you some ideas of what you're looking for. You know, I mean, it is awkward to walk in and do that appointment, you know, to have to be on and in that mindset. Plus, when you're scheduled to go out there and canvas, you know, you've got that ice water there. But, Jen, do you remember how many times people, I mean, I don't think I ever had a bad experience. I don't think anybody ever said, no, I don't want that ice cold water on this 100-degree day. No, take that away. I don't recall ever having that. But we also didn't approach it in a salesy way. It was, we're out there in the community just handing out water to people. Do you remember any of the experiences with that?
Yeah, I do. I remember, as a matter of fact, the Garofalos. That's how I ended up kind of finally meeting them. They were a couple that they were building their retirement home, and I swear this house took forever for them to build. And finally, I caught them outside, and they had said, you know, we keep seeing your, I was leaving literature there. Again, they were building their retirement home that they weren't moving into for a year, year and a half. That's why they were taking their time doing quite a bit of the work themselves. And I was leaving literature, but they were only stopping by like once every couple of weeks. Anyway, so I finally caught them outside and they're like, yeah, we've seen your literature. And, you know, then I had handed them the water and they're like, you know, this is so good. And I'm like, well, you know, it's reverse osmosis water. And
you could have an unlimited
right
supply of that, right?
Yeah, they were sold on that RO. Yeah, quite a few times I had that happen. I'm going to throw this a little monkey wrench in this and ask you a question, though, Kelly. As we were sitting here, as you were talking, I was thinking about it. I happened to be talking to our new QuickBooks representative and explaining what Motive Vitality does. We go in and we hire and train sales teams for water treatment companies. And he's like, you mean the big municipalities? I'm like, no. I always say, think Culligan. Think the Culligan guy, because everybody knows the commercials of, you know, hey, Culligan man. And he says, oh, yeah, they deliver water to the building next to me, and I've seen them delivering water. And he understood the water treatment as being delivering bottled water. That's how he understood mm-hmm. Culligan, because that's – and he's in Jersey is where he's at. So that's what he understood Culligan to do. So when we're handing out bottles of water, how do we get them to understand that we don't only do the 5-gallon jugs of water? How do we get them
that's
to
a
understand
really,
we do water treatment also?
That's a really good question. And you know, topic for almost an entire podcast. But I remember when you first started, you were telling me that you were trying to explain to your friends what you did for a living, and they would often say, "Oh, you mean those 5-gallon jugs?" And you're right, Jen. I think it's really important when you're handing that water to them to. I think it would probably be safe to assume that that's what they think you do is the 5-gallon jugs. And so mm-hmm. I think throwing, you know, having something that you can say very quickly, like, you know, just handing out water, and just so you know, you could have an unlimited supply of this water right at your kitchen tap without having to lug any bottles or anything. If you're ever interested in that, please let us know. You know, very quick
elevator
pitch, if you will, you know, that says straight, because you're right, that might be, because when you hand them water, they might be thinking 5-gallon jugs. When mm-hmm. if you say that might pique their curiosity enough to say, oh, really, what do you mean right at my tap? What does that mean? You know, and so yeah, that, really good point. The other thing about that, there's two things I wanted to mention about that, is when you're doing that at construction sites, which really is a great way to stop and get information from the guys, the construction guys, the guys working there. You know, you can find out when they see the homeowner come by, what kind of vehicle the homeowner drives, when the builder's there. You know, you can get a lot of information from the people working at the construction sites, but be careful about, you know, what happens a lot of times, I've gotten the phone calls from a builder before because they were mad that our bottles of water were all over their work site, their construction site, because the workers, you know, throw these bottles around. I mean, that's not a whole lot you can do about them throwing trash around, and they would do the same thing if it was an Aquafina bottle or something like that. But be aware of the impact it may have. Also, you know, if you do run across somebody, a homeowner that is really environmentally conscious, be prepared to address the issue that, you know, people say, well, you're sitting there saying that, you know, we shouldn't be using bottled water, yet you're out here handing out bottled water, the plastic water. That's a little hypocritic, don't you think? And you know, so that's, that in a way is how I developed my, my philosophy. You know, look, I'm not anti-bottled water. I've never, and you know, when we go to D.C. and we go to the D.C. fly-in with WQA, a lot of times representatives from Nestle and you know, other companies are there that have a huge impact. And every time we have a natural disaster, you know, any kind of hurricane or tornado or Flint, Michigan, you know, when you have these situations, if we did not have a solid, healthy bottled water infrastructure in place, bottled water industry in place, those people would be screwed. So I think it's important to recognize that the bottled water industry is a major and important part of the water treatment industry. It is very important. It is, frankly, as important as the you know, as refrigerator filters and as faucet mounted filters, or you know, the filters that you get in, you know, pour through pitcher filters. Those are all important parts of our industry, in the bottled water industry as well. It just because they are part of the industry, though, doesn't mean that they're in competition. They are different technologies. They do different things. And so it's important to be able to communicate that with your customers. Yes, my goal when I put in a reverse osmosis system for a customer is not to completely eliminate bottled water use. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think it would even be good for you know, for people in general. I think it's important to have a healthy bottled water industry. What I would like to do is just reduce the amount that we put in. You know, I would like to enhance the ability to recycle it, to reuse the bottles, to encourage people, if they're going to use bottled water, to use the 5-gallon jugs, which they can reuse and, you know, and over and over and over without having to throw. I don't want the plastics. I don't want as many plastics going into the oceans or landfills. And a reverse osmosis system is never going to help people with the convenience factor of being able to grab a bottle of water and run out the door with it, you know. And as much as we would love people to reuse, you know, to use those aluminum or titanium bottles where they refill them and go out, and yeah, of course people would love to do that. But anybody with teenagers knows that you can go through 12 of those a week because they lose them at school or they forget them or they, you know, leave them somewhere else. And so it's just not realistic that we are going to completely eliminate bottled water from our, and we just need to be prepared to address that issue. Did that answer your question, Jen? Both?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to add to that part? So the last thing I wanted to talk about then when it comes to the heat of summer and, you know, is how does it impact your uniform? I am curious about this because different companies have different policies on dress codes. You know, and I know that we've worked with clients in Florida where it's hot a lot of the time, and it's not uncommon for them to wear shorts. The client that I'm working with one of the clients we're working with recently hired an installer, really good, top-notch installer that had experience working with a different water treatment company. And he came his first day of work dressed appropriately, but also wearing shorts. He was wearing shorts as an installer because that was part of their dress code. You know, I'm wondering, how do you guys dress? Do you wear shorts? Is it appropriate in the summertime to wear shorts or, you know, a t-shirt? You know, what do you wear? Sandals, tennis shoes? How do you dress? A hat? Do you wear a hat? I wear you know, I'm mostly bald, so I wear a hat year round, but especially in the summertime because my head easily gets fried. You know, is it appropriate to wear that hat, a ball cap, in on a sales appointment? What do you guys do? How does it impact your dress code? Chris, I'm curious about you and your team. How do you dictate to them? 103 degrees, are they wearing?
All the service guys, everybody wears long pants as far as service goes, and short collared shirts, short sleeve collared shirts. We have, you know, long sleeve, short sleeve, but they all typically wear their short sleeves during the summer. And as far as sales go, we hired a new sales guy. Actually has a selling Windows background, and he's pretty awesome at what he's doing. But he's turned up in shorts one day, and I thought, you know, I'm going to just see how this goes. And he seems to keep it very professional. He wears a Culligan baseball cap. And some of our service guys have the ability to wear a cap if they want to, but it's kind of a blend, and just let them get the job done, really.
Yeah. How else? Stacy, your team, how does it impact? Because you've got quite a few salespeople there and service techs. How do they do it?
So typically all the sales reps are wearing a shirt that's got the logo on it, a logoed shirt. The service techs all have uniforms with logos, and most of them do have baseball caps that they wear with the logo.
Mm-hmm. Corey, what is your thought? You came in and you are more, you know, you've worked with several different companies around the country and seen things as well and talked to several. What's your opinion on dress code? You know, because you're what, 4 years into the industry? I think it's interesting to hear, and you younger than many of us on this call, so I'm interested from somebody up and coming in the industry being able to grab a bottle of water and run out the door with it, you know, and as much as we would love people to reuse, you know, to use those aluminum or titanium bottles where they refill them and go out. And yeah, of course, people would love to do that. But anybody with teenagers knows that you can go through 12 of those a week because they lose them at school or they forget them or they, you know, leave them somewhere else. And so it's just not realistic that we are going to completely eliminate bottled water from our, and we just need to be prepared to address that issue. Did that answer your question, Jen? Both?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to add to that part? So the last thing I wanted to talk about then when it comes to the heat of summer and, you know, is how does it impact your uniform? I am curious about this because different companies have different policies on dress codes. You know, and I know that we've worked with clients in Florida where it's hot a lot of the time, and it's not uncommon for them to wear shorts. The client that I'm working with one of the clients we're working with recently hired an installer, really good, top-notch installer that had experience working with a different water treatment company, and he came. His first day of work dressed appropriately, but also wearing shorts. He was wearing shorts as an installer because that was part of their dress code. You know, I'm wondering, how do you guys dress? Do you wear shorts? Is it appropriate in the summertime to wear shorts or, a t-shirt? What do you wear? Sandals, tennis shoes? How do you dress? A hat? Do you wear a hat? I wear I'm mostly bald, so I wear a hat year round, but especially in the summertime because my head easily gets fried. You know, is it appropriate to wear that hat, a ball cap, in on a sales appointment? What do you guys do? How does it impact your dress code? Chris, I'm curious about you and your team. How do you dictate to them? 103 degrees. Are they wearing?
All the service guys, everybody wears long pants as far as service goes and short collared shirts, short sleeve collared shirts. We have, you know, long sleeve, short sleeve, but they all typically wear their short sleeves during the summer. And as far as sales go, we hired a new sales guy. Actually has a selling Windows background, and he's pretty awesome at what he's doing. But he's turned up in shorts one day, and I thought, you know, I'm going to just see how this goes. And he seems to keep it very professional. He wears a Culligan baseball cap. And some of our service guys have the ability to wear a cap if they want to, but it's kind of a blend, and just let them get the job done, really.
Yeah. How else, Stacy, your team, how does it impact, because you've got quite a few salespeople there and service techs, how do they do it?
So typically all the sales reps are wearing a shirt that's got the logo on it, a logoed shirt. The service techs all have uniforms with logos, and most of them do have baseball caps that they wear with the logo.
Mm-hmm. Corey, what is your thought? You came in and you are more, you know, you've worked with several different companies around the country and seen things as well and talked to several. What's your opinion on dress code? You know, because you're what, 4 years into the industry? I think it's interesting to hear, and younger than many of us on this call. So I'm interested from somebody up and coming in the industry. You know, what is your perspective on this? How do customers interact or react to it?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the past it was always, you know, a nice pair of pants like slacks, nice shoes, and, you know, looking really professional. I feel like that's kind of a little overkill now and makes people think salesy. I think a nice pair of jeans, you know, not blue jeans, but like a nice black pair of jeans or gray, whatever, nice shoes, and just like a golf shirt with the logo on it. So you look relaxed but also professional. That's what I choose. I like to wear that, or, you know, khakis or something like that. That doesn't say, you know, it doesn't look like you're a car salesman out there.
But what about shorts in the summertime for a sales guy?
I've never personally done it. I don't think I own a pair of shorts that look nice enough for me to want to do that. But, I mean, if it's 110 degrees out and you're canvassing, I don't personally see a big problem with it as long as they're, you know, again, like a nice khaki short or something like that. Because a lot of them, you know, they make nice looking shorts now, and they're normal.
Can I kind of step in on shorts conversation?
Yeah.
Okay, so I personally feel that if, whether it's sales or service, you know, we're talking about khaki shorts, and khaki shorts can sometimes look okay. However, if you have all the pockets and everything, I'm not a fan of all the pockets, because when you wash them and then you dry them, they end up, the pockets are all bunched up and the flaps are folded at the corners, and unless you're going to iron them and they like look nice and neat, then to me, it's the same as walking in a pair of jean shorts. Mm-hmm. There are so many nice backer type shorts that can look professional and still be comfortable, especially like golf shorts, stuff like that, you know, that are just above or below the knee. And so I think those can still look professional and keep you cool. But when we're talking about the khaki shorts, the pockets, I'm not a fan of those. I think that they can look sloppy at times.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, you
should. I think the cargo shorts they're not professional.
No. And hey, Jen, one thing that we do uh-huh. is when we hire on new people, they get their logoed shirts and stuff, whether they're service or sales, but we give them two pair of pants. And if it's during the summer, two pair of shorts. And we set up things.
Really?
This is the look that we want you to have. Yeah. We'll give you two to get you started, but now you go forward, and this is the level that we expect.
So you actually give them a pair of shorts. That's interesting. Yeah.
I like that. How often do you have to tell them, though, that your shorts need to be clean every day? Because I've seen where there are service technicians that will wear the same pair of shorts all week long. And they're a mess by the end of the week. And it's like, you know, laundry day is over the weekend but do you have to remind them that they need to be washed each time they wear them?
I kind of put my foot down from day one about expectations mm-hmm. for cleanliness, self-maintaining up hair, you know, deodorant usage. I mean, all the things. So, like, I kind of code that because you are representing us, and it's, know, it is SeaTac out there. So I do cover that. And then my guys that have been with us for a while, they don't play. So they'll kind of rough up elbows and be like, hey, dude, you need to step it up. So thankfully I have that in the back that they have my, you know, they have the support and they don't want to be represented that way either. So I kind of try to handle all of it on the front side.
Awesome. This ended up being a pretty good conversation. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but I love you guys all jumped in and gave input here and feedback. Really great ideas. I love this. But we are out of time today. So any final comments or thoughts that somebody just has to say or wants to say?
Go ahead, Stacey.
We've got one of the guys not in our office but actually – basically dresses like a service tech.
Yeah.
For his,
yeah.
He's a sales, and it works well for him.
Yep. That's another topic, you know, on different strategies. That's a really good point too that we can talk about in the future, definitely, Stace. Jen, what were you saying?
Next week, what I would like to discuss is things are starting to open back up. So I think we need to reevaluate the building relationships with the hair salon, the appliance place, the grout doctors. So I think that cliffhanger, that's what we're going to talk about next week. And we are open to ideas because Motive Vitality Way is not the only way to do it. Like to hear what everyone else is starting to do to start those relationships back up again.
Yep, definitely. Okay. Guys, have a really happy and safe 4th of July. Come, we'll see you next week, hopefully with all of your fingers and toes and other extremities intact. So be safe, everybody. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you next week, if not before.
Take care.
Bye, Kelly.